That memorable flight was just the beginning of another life and another aviation career for Maggie. The following year, even though she hadn't paid much attention to her hope chest, she was married to a local banker, Morris Ringenberg, a veteran of the Combat Corps of Engineers in World War II. They settled into a comfortable life in Grayville, a small town in the middle of Amish country, just north of Fort Wayne. They raised a daughter and a son. They also had a compact. Whenever he wanted to go golfing, she didn't complain. Whenever she wanted to go flying, he didn't complain. She also changed from Maggie to Margaret, explaining, "I thought it was more dignified for a banker's wife," one of her few concessions to convention. In the mid-50s, she discovered a new dimension to her flying, the Powder Puff Derby, a cross-country air race for women pilots. For the next 20 years, she was a competitor in that derby, later named the Classic Air Race. She won it in 1988 and finished second 6 times. That was a warm-up for her big race. In 1994, Margaret Ringenberg, the former farm girl who fell in love with flying at the age of 7 and learned in the WASP she could hold her own against the best of the best, decided to join a race around the world. 24 days in a small twin-engine plane, a Cessna 340, more than 100 hours in the air. She was 72 years old at the time, the oldest infant. Her daughter, Marcia, had grown up with her mother in the cockpit. "I just accepted it as normal. When I flew with her, I read comic books in the back. But later, when people began making a fuss over her, I thought, maybe this is a big deal." Then Marcia saw the plane her mother would pilot around the world. "My heart just dropped. I thought, how could she go around the globe in such a tiny plane?" Margaret remembers the consternation among her family members, including her 10-year-old granddaughters, getting everyone in her Sunday school class to pray for her. She wasn't worried. By then, she had more than 40,000 hours in the cockpit. A lot of sitting is her understated way of describing that estimable record. The round-the-world race went off without a hitch. She finished out of the money, but then she wasn't in it for the trophy. She has a room full of those already. Testimony to her place as one of the most skilled and experienced small plane pilots in the world today. When she flies out of the Fort Wayne airport, the flight controllers take an almost reverential tone when speaking with her. "Notice the difference?" she asked. "I think they talk different to a woman pilot." She's at the controls of her single-engine Cherokee, and we're going for a short ride over the prosperous Indiana countryside. In the cockpit, Margaret settles her matronly figure comfortably into the small seat, and her eyes run easily over the control panel. This is where she belongs. She crooks one hand behind the yoke, or the steering wheel, of the small plane, and guides it to 2,500 feet, and then lets me take over for a short lesson in the Margaret Ringenberg School of Flying. I try to keep the plane headed in a straight line and a level altitude as we look down on the large new homes and golf courses that have replaced the farmland where her father struggled to make a living while working in the nearby GE factory. Her instructions are specific but parenthetical. "Yes, I never thought I'd see so many houses here. You're drifting left a bit. Try to go back to a zero reading. Use a light touch. Good. Oh, look, there's the Smith Field where I soloed more than 50 years ago." Actually, it was almost 60 years ago, but as she looks down at the small airstrip, she says she can almost see herself taking off on that memorable day that changed her life. Her passion about flying is matched by her generous ways. A Fort Wayne friend remembers how she flew him to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota several times so he could be treated for cancer. "She was upset that I even tried to pay her," he says. She's a family friend of former Vice President Dan Quayle and flew him around Indiana during his first campaign for the U.S. Senate. These days, she's come to appreciate her standing as a role model for young women. She's especially proud of the women pilots in the military. They're still trying to work up to full combat roles, of course, but the women of the WASPs were not even treated as veterans until an act of Congress changed that in 1979. It wasn't until 1984 that the surviving WASPs were awarded medals signifying their participation in the war effort. Margaret follows the place of women in the military, and she's convinced they could hold their own in combat flying of high-performance jet fighters. For her part, Margaret was so hurt by the abrupt way her service ended, as she put it, I came home and put all of my WASP stuff in the back of the closet. Then, she was asked to represent the WASPs in a Fort Wayne Memorial Day parade. It reawakened the old pride. Now she gives motivational speeches at the Air Force Academy and serves on a scholarship committee for low-income women academy cadets. It's a little late, of course, but she says, oh, how I would love to be a cadet at the Air Force Academy. Margaret also works with Indiana schools on giving youngsters direction in their lives. It's a stark contrast, the difference between her generation and this one. She says, a few months ago, I went with an eighth grade class to the airport. I showed them around the hangar and talked about flying. On the way back to the car, I thought, oh, why am I doing this? It takes so much time. Then on the car radio, I heard the news about that school shooting in Arkansas. I realized if I could just reach one child, it's worth it. Margaret puts it in perspective. Everything that happened in my life came from one phone call from the Army. I can't believe what an opportunity I had as a 21-year-old who loved to fly. I was from the country, but going into the service, I found I could keep up with others. That wide-eyed 7-year-old farm girl, who can still remember the control panel from her first airplane ride, did more than keep up. She was a seminal figure in taking women in aviation to places they had never been. At the age of 78, she was still at the controls.